The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Hulk Hogan passed away. We spent some time on that earlier. We'll talk about his legacy again. But in case you're just joining us, yes, the Hulkster passed away today. Very sad for his family. And we will certainly remember Hulk Hogan throughout the show today. We will be back at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey on August 15th. That makes me happy as we begin our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So August 15th, Friday, our last show of the summer. We will not be back there until Halloween. So if you've been thinking about it and you're kind of like, maybe come to the show. We'll have a lot of fun. It'll be beautiful and we'll have a great time. 3 to 7 p.m. You don't need a ticket. You don't need a reservation. However, if you want to stay over at the hotel in August, I highly recommend you go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com right now and make a reservation because they will sell out in the month of August. And it's never too early to book your September to Remember getaway. Senator Rand Paul talking about what needs to happen here. And I agree with him. Everybody needs to get charged. And Fauci needs to get charged as well. Asanto Fauci, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law, obviously. As all these deep state creatures are being exposed now, as lights are being shined on them by great people like Tulsi Gabbard and others, let's not forget who these monsters are. Here's Senator Rand Paul, cut number three.
Back up. That's the real question. Is the pardon valid? Can an auto pen pardon someone? Can a clerk or a college intern running the auto pen, can they pardon someone? We addressed this issue partially, not in court, but there was a time during President Obama's administration that he was jetting off to India and an important piece of legislation came forward and he wasn't going to be back in time and it would be a pocket veto. You know, if you don't sign legislation, if the president doesn't sign it, it fails through a pocket veto. And he wasn't going to be back, so he had his auto pen sign it. And the world knew it was happening and they doubted the validity of it, but he said not to worry. When I get back, I will sign it. And I believe he came back and signed it in person, because he was worried about the validity of the law without a real signature. So the court would have to decide this, but I think indicting Anthony Fauci would be something that's appropriate. But then I think the court would decide whether the pardon holds, and you'd probably have to interview people. Did the president really do the pardon, or did a clerk, or was it Jill Biden's chief of staff who approved this? You know, the person who was running the auto pen, I think they already have testimony saying he never talked to the president. So he's running the auto pen. I think there was thousands of pardons coming off of it, and he never discussed it.
I think a lot of people.
Ron Klain, the former White House chief of staff, he went to Capitol Hill today. None of them are talking, and none of them are going to talk. And the problem with getting to the truth of any of this is that as long as Joe Biden, comes out and says I did it, unless somebody comes out and specifically says no, I did it, and the president had no knowledge, and no one knew about it, and I did this all on my own. And that person is willing to go and admit that they broke the law. And I'm sure they would get immunity from Congress or a prosecutor if they're willing to do that. But then again, it's their word versus the president's, because what is Joe Biden going to do immediately after that? He's going to come out and say that person's lying. I approved it. I told them to do it. And then how do you dispute that? You know, that's the problem with this issue of the auto pen, and the same with the executive orders. The problem with this is as long as Joe Biden is willing to come out and say that he knew about it and he approved it, which, of course, he's going to do every single time, then unless you have something where you can definitively prove, like, you know, you got it on tape, a couple of people sitting around going, yeah, you know, we're going to do this. The president would never go along with this, but we're going to do it anyway. Like one example would be the ban on liquid natural gas exports, for example. I don't think Joe Biden knew about that. I don't think Joe Biden would have approved that. I think Joe Biden at the time where he was coherent would have thought that was politically stupid to do. But he's not going to ever come out and say, yeah, they did that one behind my back. But that's the problem with this. Unless somebody's willing to say, yeah, we just decided that we could go along with this. Now, there's the issue of the bulk pardons, and that if they met the criteria, the president did not sign off individually on those. Now, there's a legal question around that. And I think that is worth asking. But when it comes to high profile people like Fauci, Joe Biden's going to come out and say, I absolutely signed off on Fauci's pardon. That's okay. You know, I'm not really worried about that. I don't lose sleep over that because that means then Fauci doesn't have the protections of the Fifth Amendment. So I say haul his ass before the Senate, Mr. Chairman, and grill him, and he can't plead the Fifth. None of these guys can. Like, I'm not losing sleep over this because these people cannot plead the Fifth. The whole point of pleading the Fifth is to protect yourself against self-incrimination. But if you've been pardoned, you can't. There's nothing to incriminate yourself for. The crime does not exist. In the eyes of the law, you can't be charged with that crime. So you can't plead the Fifth. You don't have the luxury of doing that. And that's actually a better deal if you think about it. Because let's say a judge were to rule these pardons don't count, and then you haul Fauci before Congress. What's he going to do? He's going to plead the Fifth on everything. Not going to say a word. Just like all these people are doing now when it comes to Biden's mental health. They're all pleading the Fifth. I'm not going to say anything, you know. Like that Dave Chappelle skit. I plead the Fifth. That's what they're going to do. And that's what they're going to keep doing. But some of them who have not been pardoned, like Clapper, Comey, Brennan, some of these other scumbags, they're lawyering up. So former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, says he's afraid he's going to be arrested for his role in the Russia collusion hoax. And he should be. And I have been saying long before this, he should be in prison for lying to Congress about spying on the American people. This deep state hack. This is cut number 5. He was on CNN with Caitlin Collins. Take a listen.
When the director says that she's referred these filings to the Justice Department for a criminal investigation, tonight we're told they formed what is called a strike force. Do you have concerns that they will attempt to prosecute you?
Well, certainly I do. After 8.5 years of this, and I don't know of an intelligence product that was more scrutinized, more investigated than that product. Was by numerous people. It's very disconcerting. It really is. And I take seriously when the President of the United States accuses me of being a participant in a treasonous conspiracy, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, what's your reaction to that?
It's ridiculous. It is untrue.
So what will you do if they come after you? What is your plan?
Well, I'll lawyer up. I suppose. Already have.
You've already hired attorneys in case of, in anticipation Justice Department could try to prosecute you.
We've had sort of perpetual attorneys since I left the government in 2017.
Well, so did the Trump people when you went after him and all his people, and they had a lawyer up during the Mueller probe, and they had a lawyer up during all the nonsense. I mean, people that worked on the campaign, some of them are still in debt. I mean, I know an attorney. I saw him recently, a mutual friend of ours, Linda Kearns. He's got like $1 million in legal bills, still dealing around the 2020 election. Remember, they were allowed to say that there was election interference. But if people in the Trump campaign said it, they were charged. They were criminally charged. So I don't really feel sorry for these people that they have to lawyer up. Considering how many people in the Trump world had a lawyer up, including the president himself, who was literally prosecuted in multiple jurisdictions. And ultimately, if Clapper's arrested and if he's indicted and if there's a trial, it'll be up to a jury to decide whether or not he's guilty of these things. I mean, there'll still be a jury trial. Not just going to go straight to firing squad with this guy. He also went on to say that Obama did not tell them what conclusion to reach. Of course he's going to say that. He has to say that in order to keep this whole scam going here. But the problem is that whether Obama told them or they decided on their own, enough people under them, and this is what the CIA director John Ratcliffe is saying now, enough people under them said it was fake, it was fugazi, that Russia was trying to make Donald Trump president, but they went with that narrative anyway. And that's the issue. That's the problem right there. This is cut number 6.
Director Clapper, I mean, it was a remarkable appearance by someone who now holds the job that you previously held. And she's basically accusing the president that you served under and the people you served with and you of fabricating an intelligence assessment to damage President Trump. What's your response to that?
Well, it's patently false and unfounded. I was present at the meeting that everybody talks about, and I heard directly what President Obama asked us to do, which was to compile all the reporting and summarize it that we had accumulated in the run-up to the election of 2016, put it in one document in various classified, various levels of classification, and including a public release. And he wanted that done before the end of his administration. It was not to concoct intelligence or make it up or anything of the sort, which is absurd.
So he told you to investigate, but you're saying he did not tell you what conclusion to reach.
He did not.
And yet, they used the dossier, which they knew was full of it. They knew it was BS, this politically created dossier. They used that. But back in 2018, James Clapper was on Rachel Maddow and said that they did not use the dossier as a source for the intelligence community assessment. We know that that was a lie. Cut seven.
And I might say, with respect to the dossier, a very important point to make is we did not use that as a source for our intelligence community assessment. So it was based on traditional intelligence sources.
I will say that some things in the dossier were corroborated from separate sources of information that we did have high confidence in the original intelligence community assessment that we rendered on the 6th of January.
See, talking out of both sides of his mouth. We didn't use the dossier. We did use the dossier. We didn't use the dossier. We used traditional intelligence sources. Well, I will say we did use the dossier, and we did use some of those things in the dossier. These people are such liars. And remember, in 2020, in 2016, after that election, it was perfectly acceptable for everybody to say that Russia is the reason why Hillary Clinton lost the election. Hillary Clinton blamed James Comey, blamed Russia, blamed everybody. This is from May of 2017, cut number eight.
It wasn't a perfect campaign. There is no such thing. But I was on the way to winning until the combination of Jim Comey's letter on October 28th and Russian WikiLeaks raised doubts in the minds of people who were inclined to vote for me but got scared off. And the evidence for that intervening event is, I think, compelling, persuasive. And so we overcame a lot in the campaign. We overcame an enormous barrage of negativity, of false equivalency, and so much else. But as Nate Silver, who, he doesn't work for me, he's an independent analyst, but one considered to be very reliable, has concluded, if the election had been on October 27th, I'd be your president. And it wasn't. It was on October 28th, and there was just a lot of funny business going on around that.
And that's the day she claims that Comey came out and then ultimately. So Russia and Comey. Here she is on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Again, shocking that the show is ending, considering he had such funny guests on and such funny segments like this memorable one, where Hillary Clinton says there's no hoax. There's no doubt that Russia interfered in our election. This was not a hoax. Russia absolutely did. This is cut number nine from The Late Show with Stephen Colbert during COVID, by the way. And I believe it was 2021, if I'm not mistaken, August of 2021, cut number nine.
We still don't have all the information about what they did, but we know that they are doing it again. And then they are very active in disinformation propaganda campaigns against candidates and are using social media to undermine our candidates and lift up or protect Trump. So it was a really big deal. And I know people are still confused by it. But there's no question any longer. The Russians actively interfered in our election to help Donald Trump. There is no hoax. It's true. And a bipartisan committee just underlined that.
Okay. So there was no hoax. It's true. And a bipartisan committee just underlined that. One of the things that came out was that she was on tranquilizers like every day in 2016. Russia knew this, apparently, but did not tell anybody about it. So if they wanted Donald Trump to be elected president, why didn't they push out all the negative stuff that they had on Hillary Clinton? Again, that question continues, and we're still asking that question because it's obvious that the Russians did not want Donald Trump to win. They didn't. And they didn't help him win. That never happened. But they're still saying all these things. And they were saying these things for years. And she spent years, and she still blames Russia. I mean, and the media is doing their thing and downplaying this and once again suggesting this is all just cover for Jeffrey Epstein. And this is just to distract everybody from Jeffrey Epstein. Look, I've said this before and I'll say it again. If that's the case, then we've got a big problem. Because if there's no accountability for these people, then MAGA is over. People will tap out. I have been saying this consistently now. If there's no justice with Jeffrey Epstein, people will tap out. MAGA will tap out. So if this is all some elaborate scheme to distract you from Jeffrey Epstein, cooked up by Tulsi Gabbard for her to curry favor with the president of the United States, you have to do a couple things. You have to ignore the fact that it was the CIA director, John Ratcliffe, who got this ball rolling in the first place. He's got nothing to gain here from this. Number two, you have to say that a person who's young and bright with a future ahead of her, Tulsi Gabbard, is willing to let it all ride on made-up BS just so that she can stay in Trump's good graces now? She's a young woman with her entire life ahead of her, and she could do anything she wants to do. But you have to believe that then. And then number three, you have to believe that if nothing comes of this, that we're all going to be just fine. We'll be like, no big deal. They got away with it again. MAGA. No, that's not going to be the case. I'm telling you now. I hear from people all the time. And while the polling has yet to hurt Donald Trump, what I'm saying is that there are going to be people that showed up to this movement who believe that he was going to make these people pay. And if they don't pay, and if nothing comes of this, because this is all just a giant distraction of Jeffrey Epstein and nothing comes of that, then these people are out. And they're done. And they're not coming back. And you're not getting them back. Speaking of Epstein, by the way, the DNI director, Tulsi Gabbard, says she'll be releasing more explosive documents implicating Obama in the Russia collusion hoax. She's just getting warmed up here. She was on with Jesse Waters last night after she made the big announcement at the White House yesterday. This is cut number 10 from Fox News. Take a listen.
There are a lot of deep state actors still here within Washington. President Trump wants us to find the truth. I want to find the truth. The American people deserve the truth, and they deserve accountability, which is why I'm really glad to see that Attorney General Pam Bondi and the Department of Justice announced the creation of a strike force team today, specifically to get after all the intelligence and evidence that we have gathered. We have more coming, and to determine the path forward to bring about that accountability.
Are we forward to hearing from you and from the strike force, because this is information everybody deserves to know. Director, thank you so much.
By the way, some breaking news that is local and also national. Alina Haba, she is now the acting United States Attorney for the District of New Jersey. She officially stepped down as interim United States Attorney for the District of New Jersey, and she is now the acting United States Attorney for the District of New Jersey. She just tweeted out the following. Donald J. Trump is the 47th president. Pam Bondi is the Attorney General. And I am now the acting United States Attorney for the District of New Jersey. I don't cower to pressure. I don't answer to politics. This is a fight for justice, and I'm all in. That just happened a few moments ago. Because if you remember, the whole issue was that you needed these judges to sign off on her, and they wouldn't. And so the judges then appointed someone else as interim U.S. attorney, and then Pam Bondi fired that person, and now Alina Haba is now the acting United States attorney for New Jersey. And then I assume then she will be confirmed by the full Senate, and then we'll get the job for real. Because at this point now, Trump doesn't like to lose. So she'll wind up becoming the full United States attorney for New Jersey, and we'll get Senate confirmation. I would imagine that that's probably what's going to happen. But good for her. I mean, good for her for pushing back against these people, these slime balls. Speaking of Epstein, you know, yesterday the story came out that Trump's name is in the Epstein files. I'm not surprised by that. I mean, I think everybody knows that they were friends by now. There's all these pictures that keep resurfacing. We know that there was a period of time where Epstein socialized with everybody, including Trump, Bill Clinton. I mean, all these people. That's not a surprise. There was a point where Trump banned him from Mar-a-Lago and stopped hanging out with the guy. But I'm sure his name's in there. There's lots of names in the files. That's never been a question. Nobody's ever doubted the fact that if you're going to go through Jeffrey Epstein's life, there's going to be lots of people whose names are in those files. The problem is that, and this is what the Wall Street Journal story acknowledges, just being in the files does not mean you've done anything wrong. I mean, there are so many people that socialized with this guy, high-profile people. It doesn't mean that they were ever at Epstein Island. It doesn't mean they ever had sex with minors. It doesn't mean that they were ever participating in the trafficking of sex with minors. Nothing. Trump denied that Pam Bondi told him he was in the Epstein files. He called that story fake news. Cut number one.
The attorney general briefed you on the DOJ and FBI review, the findings of that review. The attorney general briefed you on
what? On the
DOJ and FBI
on what?
Review.
On what subject?
Epstein. Okay. On Epstein. Of the review of the files. Attorney General Pam Bondi.
A very, very quick briefing.
What did she tell you about the review? And specifically, did she tell you at all that your name appeared in the file?
No. She's given us just a very quick briefing. And in terms of the credibility of the different things that they've seen, and I would say that, you know, these files were made up by Comey, they were made up by Obama, they were made up by the Biden, we went through years of that with the Russia hoax, with all of the different things that we had to go through. We've gone through years of it, but she's handled it very well. And it's going to be up to her. Whatever she thinks is credible, she should release.
I think that people want answers and they're going to get. I mean, I hope they get answers. I really do. I think it would be a mistake to not get the answers. But I do not believe for a second that Tulsi Gabbard would go out there and risk her career, her reputation and her future to just make all this up. But again, if you believe that, then explain to me the part where CIA Director John Ratcliffe comes in, because he's the one that started this. Ratcliffe was the one who initially referred them for DOJ investigation. Comey, Brennan, and Clapper. He's the guy that started this. And it was the House Intelligence Community that released their findings that Tulsi Gabbard, as Director of National Intelligence, reported yesterday at the White House. So if all of this is a fugazi, if all of this is just to distract from Jeffrey Epstein, that buys you a week, 2 weeks, and that's it. But worse than that, if there is no accountability, Clapper lawyers up and Comey lawyers up and Brennan, and then these guys will have lawyers anyway in there, you know what I mean? And it doesn't matter because they'll all get their big consulting contracts and the war machine pays them their seats on their boards and the hack media pays them. They'll be fine financially. But my point is that if it doesn't lead to any prosecution, if there are no indictments, if nothing comes of these criminal referrals, you're going to have a lot of very upset people out there, me being one of them. And while I won't tap out, I'll still vote in November. I've been voting since I was a kid. Well, I mean, not legally, but, you know, I've been involved in politics since I was a kid. But there are people out there who they're showing up now for the first time because of Trump. And if they get duped, if they feel duped, bye bye. They're gonna be gone like that sandwich was gone by that seagull on the beach. Oh, we haven't played this clip yet. This was viral. This went everywhere. The sandwich snatcher. Has this ever happened to you guys, by the way, Justin, Matt, where you've had a seagull rip a sandwich out of your hand on a beach?
Not a sandwich, but I've lost French fries.
Yeah,
before.
French fries 100%, but not a full sandwich.
Like from your hand while you were eating it?
Well, from the cup, yeah. I've had one swoop down. It's only happened to me. I think it's happened to me twice, actually, now that I reflect upon it. Also, a seagull once pooped on me, so I've got bad blood with the seagull community.
That seagull did the right thing.
Don't encourage them.
That seagull is my new favorite seagull. I wish I could beat that seagull. Shake his wing.
Yeah, they're very aggressive.
The Jersey seagulls are a different kind of breed of seagulls, right? People listening, we have listeners all over the country in the Zioli Army, but, you know, like South Carolina seagulls, they're polite, they're kind. You know what I mean? Jersey seagulls, they don't give a damn. They'll come right down, swoop, they'll poop on you, take your food, gnaw your eye out. Like, they don't care.
Yeah, most birds, most seagulls, you can just kind of like wave your arm in the air and that's enough to dissuade them from getting any closer. But yeah, the Jersey Shore seagull, that is not nearly enough to keep them at bay.
No, they sit there and they call their friends over. They're like, did you see that? That guy tried to wave me away?
It's personal to them, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's not the Jersey seagull way. Let's get them. And then boom. So this woman's sitting on a beach. Where did this take place? Was this Wildwood?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
I feel like it was Wildwood. I don't know. This did happen to us, though, in Wildwood a couple years ago.
It is Wildwood, yeah.
It is Wildwood, right? So this happened to us a couple years ago in Wildwood where the seagull snatched food out of Patrick's hand. He was young. He was I want to say like five. So this was probably 5 years ago. And came right down, snatched food out of his hand, scared him to death. He doesn't scare easily, my son. But that's a pretty freaking scary thing when you're a five-year-old kid.
Yeah, a bird of prey comes down from the sky, yeah, and snatches you. That's terrifying.
It's like a Hitchcock movie at that point. You come down and grab it out of the hand. Yeah, you got to tell your therapist something, but I imagine it's going to start with that. Then it's going to start with my dad's a deadbeat, but first it'll be about the seagull. So here, play the video on YouTube. This is visual, but we'll describe it for you if you're listening on the radio. And this woman's just sitting there on the blanket. She's got a sandwich, minding her own business. And this thing swoops down from the heavens or just from the boardwalk. And that's probably where it was. So they hang out on the boardwalk, look at its suckers, and then they fly around. And then it goes right down. And she's eating like it's like a burger. And just when one swoop pulls it out of her hand, flies away. Does not even hesitate. At seagull's precision, comes down and they slow it down. She's putting a chip in her mouth. The seagull grabs it and just keeps flying. And there's another seagull right behind that seagull. That's like his body man, like his wingman. You notice that?
that the second seagull's probably coming for the chips after they get the sandwich.
Exactly. Exactly. They're going to circle round back and get the chips. Rips it right out of her hand.
I have to say, that's pretty impressive that the seagull was able to grab that and fly away, because she took one bite out of that. Otherwise, it's a full sandwich.
Done that before. His first rodeo. He's trained.
Yeah. I mean, because it was a full burger, like an entire quarter pounder with cheese. Like, she's eating, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a big thing. And boom, gone. You're right, Justin. He probably did it like five other people.
Just that day alone.
See, they should have, instead of Jaws, I'm not worried about, they should do Seagull. Do a horror movie about that, where it just comes down and eats your food and terrifies your kids, and you know what I mean?
Sounds like you've just created another Zioli film.
There you go. Like, it would be part of my trilogy with White House Cocaine Dogs and Beast One. Yeah, no, this is what happens, and people that don't know, this woman's obviously a Benny, a tourist, a Shuby, whatever you want to call her. If you don't know, like if you're out of town, you're from Missouri and you're visiting your family, your friends in Jersey, and they go to the beach for the day, and you think you can just sit there and hold food up and wave it around the skies of Jersey.
You're just taunting them.
Yeah. You're asking for them to come and take that food. You might as well have a sign that says free seagull food. And you know, like a sandwich board. You might as well put a sandwich board on your body. It says free seagull food here. But they don't know. They don't know any better because they're like, oh, they don't do this to us at the Ozarks. No, they don't. They're polite. They're respectful. Not our seagulls. Oh, love it. So happy. It makes me fun. I wish, would it be fun though if we could take some, I'm not saying we have to shoot them because that might get bloody, but. Water guns, boomerangs, water cannons, you know what I'm saying?
A water gun, I think, maybe that dissuades them from, you know, swiping snacks.
But like a big water gun, like a big one.
Well, you don't want to harm the critter.
Like one of the ones you get at the water park at like Raging Waters or Ocean Oasis. The ones you got to like hit the, like it's like you're holding an M2 machine gun and you spray them down.
Oh, we're going to get angry emails from PETA.
Yeah, no. The one guy will send me a note. Your seagulls play a vital role. Every time I talked about using DDT on mosquitoes to eradicate them, I got a nasty note from somebody about the role mosquitoes play in the food chain and how I should never want them to be. First of all, I seriously would want them to be completely eliminated. I think we all would. But number two, you really taking the time out of your day to write me an email in defense of mosquitoes? I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, what a bizarre creature to defend. It's technically, yeah. I think, the deadliest animal on Earth.
It is. Mosquitoes have killed more people than anything else in the world.
1 million per year.
Yeah, the deadliest thing on Earth is a mosquito. And, like, there's a guy who took time out of his day to send me an email defending mosquitoes.
You think it was, like, the mosquito community? They have an attorney or something?
I think that guy should never be allowed to buy bug spray. He should never be allowed to purchase off or use in any capacity or have to use the Fugazi off. You know, they have that, like, whatever it is, it doesn't work. The all natural and the mosquitoes just they lick it like it's a shot of whiskey. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Skin's so soft or something, I think. You put that on, like the healthy people think that that's going to do the job. And the mosquitoes are like, oh, thanks. I've been looking for a nice little treat to go along with sucking your child's blood. All right. Dr. Victoria Coates is going to join us straight ahead. Let me tell you about Bob's Little Sports Shop. How does this sound for a great event? A co-ed shooting event where you can learn proper firearms use and have some fun on August 24th at Bob's Little Sports Shop. And how about an event at Bob's, maybe a corporate event, a bachelorette party or a bachelor party, even an office event, a little coworker bonding and some shooting range fun. Bob's has certified NRA instructors, range safety counselors. You don't need a firearms ID card. You don't need any experience whatsoever. You just can't bring alcohol or drugs. But you'll have a great time. You'll learn the proper way to use a firearm, and you'll have a great day, a lot of fun. They can host private events up to 30 people. And just go to bobslittlesportshop.com for all the details. They have classes, and, of course, they've got the female instructors, too. Because I know a lot of the ladies listening like to work with a female NRA-trained instructor. Well, the NRA-certified female instructors as well. So if you've been thinking about learning how to properly use a firearm, just look to Bob's. Bob's Little Sports Shop, my go-to shop. Incredible selection of firearms, great people, and also, too, great friends of our show and great sponsors. Just go to bobslittlesportshop.com. bobslittlesportshop.com to get all the details. And I trust them. They're right in Glassboro. They've been there 60 years. bobslittlesportshop.com. This ad brought to you by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, yeah, this is big. We got her on a day when everybody wants to find out what she thinks about Tulsi Gabbard's allegations and Director Radcliffe's allegations, among other things. She is the vice president of the Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation, the author of the must-read book, Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win, former deputy national security advisor to President Donald Trump. She is Philadelphia's own and the one who was caught on that kiss cam with the fanatic, Dr. Victoria Coates. Hello, my friend.
Happy Summer Friday, Rich.
Happy Summer Friday. Absolutely, my friend. I was actually supposed to be taping a Fox News show tomorrow, but I got bumped for Hulk Hogan's death. So, you know, but I'm still off. So, you know, we'll make the best of it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, I can't talk about Jeffrey Epstein or whatever his name is. I can't talk about the rebuild of the Federal Reserve. It's a nice weekend to have off.
It really, truly is. Were you a fan of wrestling?
I've never been a huge wrestling fan. I met Hulk Hogan once. You know, it seems like we're sort of losing a bunch of kind of random people here with Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan. I guess this is going to happen to all of us at some point. But, you know, 71 seems way too young.
Yeah, for sure. It certainly does. Director Gabbard yesterday, DNI Director Gabbard came out and laid it all out. I think it's important to remind people that it was CIA Director John Ratcliffe who really got this ball rolling a few weeks ago. And you were on my show. We talked about this. But these allegations are stunning. to say the least. And I don't think that neither Director Ratcliffe nor Director Gabbard would be out there saying these things if they didn't believe they were true. In other words, I don't think they're saying these things as some sort of distraction.
No, and I've been talking to both of their staffs, and they have the receipts here. And it's, I guess, shame on us in the first term, because I remember so clearly those early days. I mean, I remember where I was when the president said I was being surveilled in Trump Tower, and thinking, wow, you know, he must know what he's talking about. And then being in the White House for that first month with General Flynn, who was the one who hired me, and suddenly, you know, Mike was gone in the night, literally. Mm-hmm. And how that went down and how demoralizing it was and what a critical time it was for our country. And these people set it all up, and they're the same ones who set up the situation with Biden, you know, where he was non-compos mentis. And yet these people are running the country behind the scenes, and they know better than all of us. It's terrifying to think back about it.
And to create this lie after the election in particular that Putin wanted Trump to win. And, you know, as all this evidence comes out now that the Russians knew that Hillary Clinton was getting injections, that she was basically psychotic, and they didn't release any of that information, makes me think that they did not want Trump to win, because otherwise they would have released all that information. But yet they ran with this narrative, and then they tried to destroy his presidency. And it came with a very expensive bill to the American taxpayer, because that entire Mueller report, Robert Mueller report, cost the taxpayer $60 million. Lawyers' fees. And it was a national nightmare that really almost did grind the entire first administration to a halt.
Not to mention the expense to the Trump family and all of the other people who had to hire lawyers for various reasons, because they were caught up in this. So it's a nightmare. And it's the same thing with the Iranians, who took out a hit on President Trump in 2024 because they didn't want him to be elected. What's Iran's second closest ally? Russia. They don't want him elected either. I mean, Putin knows who he's dealing with here, and he's had a very different America to deal with for the last 6 months. And I actually think we are getting closer to dragging the Russians to the table, to getting to some sort of resolution to Ukraine, because of the pressure that the president's prepared to land on Russia, which President Biden never was. So, no, I mean, the Russians don't want Trump there. No, he's not Putin's poodle. It's all made up. And it's so amazing to have folks in these offices who are willing to say, yeah, here's the lie, American people. Here's the scam that's been perpetrated on you.
Yeah, I agree. And they, for years, I mean, Hillary Clinton was out there blaming her loss on the Russians. Jimmy Carter said Donald Trump was an illegitimate president because of the Russians. It was awful. Speaking of Russia and Ukraine, I do want to ask you, because there's something that's going on in Ukraine that sparked a lot of protests. And this Fox News article about this, and I'll share the title with everybody: Ukraine sees sweeping protests over bill weakening anti-corruption agencies. Controversial bill threatens the independence of Ukraine's anti-corruption agencies. I think, you know, a lot of people in this entire thing have thought that Ukraine is this clean country with, this pristine democracy, not realizing that it was the second most corrupt country behind Russia.
Yes. I mean, you would think from some of the fawning coverage that only heroes live in Ukraine. And it's not that heroes don't live in Ukraine, and a lot of Ukrainians have behaved very bravely during this war. But this is one of the most corrupt places, as you say, on the planet. And my first visit to Ukraine was 12 years ago, right after the Maidan Square demonstrations, the change of government. And what I heard from every level of the Ukrainians at that point was, you have to help us with corruption. And we would have delegations come in when I was working in the Senate, when I was working in the White House. We have them come to Heritage now saying this problem is not under control. We need systemic reform. And what you're seeing now is the Zelensky government, for whatever reason, the same government that lobbied against an inspector general for Ukraine. They sent armies of lobbyists up to the Hill to have people vote against Marjorie Taylor Greene's inspector general, which was a good idea. And now they're curbing any anti-corruption efforts. What are they hiding? I mean, what I keep saying to the Ukrainians is, let us help you. You're in a shooting war. You can't count bullets and whatnot. Let us help you. And the answer is absolutely not. They are protecting the system, and it's made a lot of people rich, including President Zelensky. And I think this has got to be a huge problem going forward. This is the reason they're not in the European Union.
I mean, hasn't Zelensky been president now as long as, I mean, not as long as Putin, but I mean, he's been in charge for a long time, right? I mean, they've suspended elections and argued that the war was the reason why, and et cetera.
We've done that as well in our history. I mean, I think most prominently for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, allowing him to run for a third and then a fourth term during World War II. And there, when you are in the middle of a shooting war, there is an inclination to keep with the leader you know, the person who you know has been in control. But yeah, now we're 3.5 years into this war, and he has stopped elections. And I mean, at least we had elections. For Roosevelt,
well, that's what I was going to say. I mean,
overwhelmingly,
right? We still had the election. I mean, he won, right. But we had it. Where they didn't have him in Ukraine, if I'm not mistaken,
nope.
Right?
No, they haven't. Yeah. I mean, nothing. And yeah. So, I mean, it starts to look like Palestinian Authority to me. So, you know, if we are in this war to the tune of the president saying $350 billion to defend democracy, it's not a great advertisement for it.
No, I mean, even Lincoln, you know, ran for re-election in the middle of the Civil War. Dr. Coates, let's talk about what France is going to do, because Emmanuel Macron has come out now and said that they are going to recognize Palestinian statehood. What does that mean, and what are the broader implications of that?
This is just ridiculous. Emmanuel Macron is the deeply unpopular, basically lame duck president of France, who is spending most of his time copying the liberal U.S. playbook of trying to jail his political opponents, prevent them from running for office, raiding their offices. It's unspeakable. And so his most recent stunt is to say that at the United Nations General Assembly in late September, they're going to recognize a Palestinian state. Now, he can't say where that state is. He can't say what its borders are. He can't say what its governing authority is. All he's getting is praise from Hamas. And I mean, here's my just sort of basic rule here, Rich. If Hamas is praising you, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. And in this case, it's recognizing Palestinian statehood. He is rewarding them for what they did on October 7th. There is no there. There is no substance to this. It's just it's pure propaganda on the part of the French. They're trying to pander to their domestic Islamist base. And it's such a shame to see this happen. And all I was thinking today when this news broke was, I bet they were hoping for a Harris-Waltz ticket, because a President Harris would have gone up to New York and recognized a Palestinian state too.
Yeah, and what does the United Nations do after this?
Well, they'll probably vote on it, but again, it's theater. There's no substance to it. And the people who are most disturbed by this, which is somewhat ironic, are the Palestinian people, because they're being told, oh, your state's going to be recognized by the United Nations. Guess what's going to change for them? Nothing.
Nothing.
They're going to still be in the same doom loop that they're in. But yet, this is what's been going on for the last 50 years. They are being sort of teased along that there's hope, this is going to happen, you're going to get your state, you're going to conquer Israel. Meanwhile, this was interesting. In the Financial Times last week, the stock market that has performed the best since October 7th is Israel's.
Wow.
So Israel's kind of chugging along, doing Israel's thing, and the Palestinians are in a worse and a worse place. And now this is going to be a purely symbolic gesture on the part of the French. It's, again, theater. And nothing will change.
Dr. Victoria Coates is with us from the Heritage Foundation, of course. Great to have her on the show. I'd like you to put your energy hat on, if I could have you do that for a moment. I want to play a clip for you. This is cut number 12. The president at the AI summit yesterday declaring that America is going to win the AI race. And I'd like to ask you about that from both an energy perspective and a national security perspective, a foreign policy perspective. I mean, all of it. Cut number 12.
Whether we like it or not, we're suddenly engaged in a fast-paced competition to build and define this groundbreaking technology that will determine so much about the future of civilization itself. Because of the genius and creativity of Silicon Valley. And it is incredible, incredible genius. Without question, the most brilliant place anywhere on Earth. America is the country that started the AI race. And as President of the United States, I'm here today to declare that America is going to win it. We're going to work hard. We're going to win it.
So, Dr. Coates, how important is it that we win this race, and how do we win it?
No, it's critically important, and I don't know if you've felt it creeping into your life the way I've felt it creeping into mine. Just starting to use AI regularly, realizing that you can train it, figuring out what you feed into it to get the results that you want. My new book, which is an art history book, we can talk about that later, but I'm doing a lot of research using AI and training it to use the sources that I want it to use. And I could see, in my somewhat aged hands, how it is evolving day by day. It is the critical technology of tomorrow. And what the president announced yesterday, and I'm so happy, my former Heritage colleague, Kara Fredericks, is in the White House as one of the top tech people helping to guide this. She's just such a heroine in this space. It's critical that we are the ones who set the rules. We define for our partners and allies how we can collaborate in this space. But on the energy side, it's going to need a lot of energy. We're going to go from 3% right now of the energy, our energy needs on being our energy usage going to AI to 10% in about 5 years. That's more than tripling. That energy need. And I apologize for the Coates dogs in the background.
No,
I can't get away
from that. We love the Coates dogs. We love them.
The Labradors are entering the chat. But it's, this is such a massive
need. I just
need,
hope they're not barking at a Terminator. He's in those movies, the Terminator,
No, they're barking at the lot. They're barking at the people mowing the lawn.
Right, exactly. I have to run, but thank you, Dr. Coates, as always. And please follow Dr. Coates on X at, why don't I have your Twitter handle in front of me?
At Victoria Coates.
I should know that by now. My gosh, what's wrong with me? The dog distracted me. At Victoria Coates, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Take care.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. Veneria Dental, two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury for 12 years. Recognized as a master of dental implants among his peers. Tri-County Auto is going to give you an incredible deal. They are my great friends, and they're easy to get to off of 422. Great deals on Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Right now, amazing savings. And you heard President Trump say it. You can finally now deduct the interest on American cars. So there's never been a better time to go see my friends at Tri-County Auto. They're great people, dedicated to customer service, and you can trust them. Tricounty.com is where you go to see their incredible inventory and look for their gigantic American flag. It's like 25 by 30 feet. They stand with us as our official automobile sponsor of this show. But hey, they also have great trucks too, like those great Dodge Ram trucks. Oh, and they've got great financing and specials on them right now. Great leases and even certified pre-owned cars as well. It's all there for you at Tri-County Auto, Tricounty.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.